Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Decisions, decisions. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey B, Joe Pizzapia. That handsome manscaped young man is Kyle Yates, and that tall drink of water is, of course, Dan Harris. And we're coming to you today with a very special show. Who should I draft? Ah, the age-old question that has bothered us for years and years, months and months, weeks and weeks, hours and hours. And today we're going to ask some important questions. Two players, back-to-back, same position, ADP. Who should I draft? And of course, these two gentlemen right here are going to give you their answers. And who knows, if I have to break some ties, I just might do it. Dan Harris, it is nice to see you. I know you're all refreshed from the weekend. You got the energy level up. And usually, whenever I'm in a conundrum, I always stop and I go, what would Dan Harris do? So this is really good today, because I feel like this is that perfect step towards that.
I'm very excited about the show for many reasons. One of the biggest ones is that, obviously, as everybody knows, I do a lot of mock drafts in our Discord, in the mock draft channel. And we have a thing now in our mock draft where you can get different grades from each of us. And the people are very mad at Joey P. Okay, yeah. They're very mad at the grades that Joey P puts out. But also, apparently, it is very difficult for most people, Yates, I don't know if you knew this, to get a good grade on you and me. Like, apparently our rankings, I guess, diverge a little bit. So people, when they're able to thread that line, they get very excited. So I'm excited. I hope we're on different sides of some of this so we could yell at each other, which we rarely do.
Sure we'll find some different ends there. And you know, it's funny. I mean, I'm not just going to like give it away. I mean, you got to earn my respect here on the Draft Wizard. I'm not just going to like give you good grades just for showing up. There's no participation trophies in my mock draft world. And Yates, I feel like that's challenging everybody. When you get all four of us to like one of your drafts, doesn't that kind of give everyone a warm, fuzzy feeling that they've actually accomplished something in their life?
And it's pretty funny to see the responses that come through on Twitter that are like, I got a 98 from everyone. And that's happened like once. So if you're that person and you're listening to this podcast, congratulations, you did it. But yeah, it is a true sign of victory when you get a good grade from all four of us. So, and that just goes to show the process of fantasy football and that it is completely, you can see things completely differently. And that's part of the fun here. And what we do at Fantasy Pros, we bring on so many different guests for you to be able, the listener, to be able to get differing opinions to then be able to formulate your own. So it's part of what we do here. I'm excited for the show.
And all those guests, all some amazing guests, will be on Thursday on our Fantasy Football Fest, the Festival of Friendship, from 10 a.m. Eastern to 10 p.m. Eastern, only on our YouTube channel. That's the only place to see it. Star-studded guests across the board, all day, all night. And of course, you have to subscribe to our YouTube channel to get that little click on that bell for the notification so you know exactly when everything is going to be happening. And look, you should have already subscribed anyway, but if you haven't, now is the time because Thursday is going to be, as the kids like to say, lit. Do they still say that? I don't know. I'm going to pretend
Yates?
Like they do.
Yates is the only one who might know.
I think they Yates. Do. I think they do.
Which means they don't, because Yates is now 27. He's too old. So now you've aged out.
My back hurts. My back hurts.
Dog years, maybe.
Yeah, seriously. No.
Yeah.
So today we're going to talk about, again, like I said, we're going to go through who should I draft and also do a who's most likely to. We'll ask a question and then the guys will answer it. But before we get into it, I just want to remind everybody, free stuff. That's right. Everybody loves free stuff. Go to fantasypros.com/contest and you can win that Clyde Edwards-Helaire amazing helmet. It is so cool. It is autographed. Thanks to our friends at Pristine Auction. Last month's contest winner was Tyler from Denver, so he can go on and give you a testimonial. We give out free stuff, so you're welcome, Tyler. If you want to be the next Tyler, go to fantasypros.com/contest. Go out there and look for, again, that subscription that we're going to be putting out there, too. You subscribe to the YouTube channel. You get a 3X entry. You drop a review of the show. Next thing you know, you go over to fantasypros.com/contest. Fill out the form. And you could win that Clyde Edwards-Helaire amazing helmet. It is so cool looking. Also, don't forget, today's show is inspired by the Who Should I Draft tool, which is part of our incredible work at fantasypros.com. So we always like to be on the cutting edge of all of the greatest tools in fantasy sports history. And premium subscribers can get that tool, of course, for all of their expert drafts that they're doing this year. You can compare 3 or 4 players at a time. And also, don't forget, if you're saying to yourself, well, money's tight. I really love fantasy football. It's been a tough year. I don't know if I could spend to up my premium subscribership. Well, the answer is yes. And Uncle Joey's going to give it to you. Go to fantasypros.com/offers. Get a $10 deposit on one of our partner sites. That's Underdog, FanDuel, or DraftKings. And enter a contest. And you get 6 free months of Hall of Fame package at Fantasy Pros. That's a $65 value. Again, come on. fantasypros.com/offers. $10. You get to play more fantasy and upgrade to the Hall of Fame package. Win-win. Free stuff all over the place. Dan Harris, can we afford to keep giving away free things?
No, but we're going to do it anyway because awesome. We love everybody. By the way, speaking of free things, I will mention that I just launched another podcast. The kickoff, we were giving away a signed Josh Allen jersey. Go check it off. Again, kickoff anywhere you look for podcasts and go to fantasypros.com/kickoff, leave a review, enter for that one. And that's a new podcast, so there aren't that many reviews, obviously, so you have a real good chance to win. Sorry.
Support Dan Harris. Everybody loves Dan.
Why not?
Harris. You know, it's funny. We stopped doing the baseball show, just us Friday, and now we're here together doing NFL, and everyone just loves Dan Harris. This is a chance to get your 20 minutes of Dan Harris a day just solo, which is a beautiful thing. I mean, because the people just, they demand more Dan Harris, and I can understand why. I demand it, too. That's why you're here today on the show. Let's start with who should I draft. All right, boys, I'm going to give you some names and let the debates begin. Let's start with this one. Who should I draft? Aaron Jones, safe, wonderful, RB1 2 years in a row, or Saquon Barkley, the upside Giants running back, the guy who could be the 1-1 when all is said and done. Yates, I'm going to start with you, handsome man. Go ahead, Barkley or Aaron Jones, who you got, freshly manscaped Yates?
As soon as you said it, I immediately was just like, oh my word, because I've got Saquon Barkley at 6 in my rankings, and I've got Aaron Jones at 7. These guys are not split by too much here at the towards the middle part of your first round. So, I mean, Saquon definitely has the upside, just based on his pure talent, and just based on what he can do on the football field to you mentioned it, to finish as the RB1 in all of fantasy football. I think that he'll have to see some help there with the receiving volume in order to be able to hit that, but it's absolutely possible. But yet we have the injury concerns with Aaron Jones. Talk about talent as well. Talk about an offense that is going to put up points on the board. But then you do have some of the concerns of how much of a workload is AJ Dillon going to see this year. You know, Jamal Williams is out of town, so maybe some of those targets go Aaron Jones's way, but maybe we see AJ Dillon step in around the goal line. I mean, he's a 250-pound back. Why wouldn't you use him around the goal line despite how good Aaron Jones has been? So it's just trying to play this out here and just say, okay, AJ Dillon, should he be on this roster? Should they have spent a second-round pick on AJ Dillon last year? Probably not, but he is here. And we have to take that into account that they spent a second-round pick on a running back. They're going to want to use him. And so now that plays a role in how we view Aaron Jones. So I'll let my rankings speak for it here. I will go Saquon Barkley here over Aaron Jones, but there is some risk with it.
All right. The risk, Dan Harris. Saquon Barkley or Aaron Jones? Which way are you going?
I'm going to vociferously disagree with my colleague here because I have Aaron Jones at 6 and Saquon Barkley at 7 in my half PPR ranking. So, look, I agree with everything Yates is saying. And I think you could make sort of even right now, even with the uncertainty with Saquon, which is obviously what is pushing him down to this range. Absent the uncertainty with his injury, he's top 3, top 4, whatever you want to do. I could see an argument right now, PPR, you want to take Saquon, standard, you want to take Jones, half PPR, they're right there. Like, you can flip a coin. For me, I will go with Jones. There are the concerns that Yates mentions, of course. And again, I do think that in the end, it's kind of the same thing that we were looking at from last year, because I think he will factor in Jones more in the passing game, and he may lose a couple of goal line carries. And in the end, I think that's just going to basically even out. You can't win your draft in the first round, as we have talked about many times. You can lose it. There's a chance of losing it if you take Saquon. I don't consider it a huge chance, but it's enough of a chance for me to very, very slightly lean towards Jones when faced with that choice.
It's shocking, Dan, for you to take the safer option. I really never saw that coming. Right. It really kind of came out of left field. You're one of these people that just, I know you love risk. You love taking chances and whatnot. I got to tell you, I think this is all about the kind of fantasy owner you are, right? I mean, if you think that you can make that Saquon Barkley pick work, then just be careful. Make sure you're backing up with something pretty solid right afterwards. It's very difficult to take Saquon Barkley and take another high-risk running back right after that in that second round. Aaron Jones is a little safer. I'm going to break the tie here. For me personally, I'm going to go with Saquon because you can't win or lose maybe your draft in that first round, but you can win a league in the first round. And I think Saquon Barkley is a league winner potentially. And I am willing to risk it because I like biscuit, and that's just the truth. All right, let's go to the next one here. DeAndre Swift or Chris Carson? These are two running backs going a little bit later than the two we just discussed. These are two running backs that obviously one's been around a few more years. DeAndre Swift had a very good finish to the season, did have a few issues there in terms of health. Chris Carson, also some health concerns also. They really kind of go right neck and neck in a lot of ADPs. So I will put it to you, Dan Harris. DeAndre Swift or Chris Carson, which way are you going?
I am taking Carson, and that is a switch I've recently made as I tried to just hold out hope as much as I could that we're going to see something from Swift, but the injury concerns that have slowed him down a little bit, and frankly, I believe that Jamal Williams is going to have a big role. I've heard Tags talk about it before, and he does not seem to buy into it. And I know, like, we've talked about where we've had Williams in his rankings, and it's been pretty low, kind of fading this whole thing. I do not think so. I think Lynn wants to do this whole thing, even with Swift healthy, of having sort of that, you know, running down guy and Swift factor into more of the passing game. Chris Carson is, simply put, one of the most underrated backs in the last 3 or 4 years. Like, he just is. He's probably not going to stay healthy all season. I admit that, which is why Yates, I know you've talked about drafting Rashad Penny late, own injury concerns, of course. I think that's a very good late round pick. But for right now, when Chris Carson is on the field, there is zero to be concerned about with him. So I'm going to lean him. I have him a couple spots higher. It's not a huge difference. I just updated my rankings last night. Carson is 17. Swift is 19 and a half PPR. But I will go Carson here. And I feel like there is the tier break for me at this point. Mm-hmm. Swift is in the tier right below it.
All right. Fair enough. Swift or Carson for you, Yates, who should I draft?
This is Chris Carson, and it's not even close. I've got Chris Carson at RB 14. I've got DeAndre Swift at RB 20 in my rankings. And, you know, we talk about the difference here between a potential top five offense in Seattle and a potential bottom five offense in Detroit. And if that is the case, then, you know, we've got Rashad Penny that's going to factor in. He's going to see some work. And it's the same way with Jamal Williams. But I want the scoring opportunities. And both of these guys actually come with some injury risk, right? DeAndre Swift is currently injured. Chris Carson, of course, may not be able to stay healthy the entire year. But as an RB2, I want the guy who has the upside. DeAndre Swift, I don't see a path for upside in this offense here in Detroit. So yeah, give me the guy who's going to see a ton of work in a potential top five scoring offense this year. That's Chris Carson.
Make it a clean sweep. 3 for 3. No need to break any ties on that one. So we're all into Chris Carson over DeAndre Swift.
Joe, next, can I ask Yates a question? Because I want to, because Yates, you said you have him 14th. So can I just ask a couple of guys? So do you have him ahead of Clyde Edwards-Helaire?
I do, one spot.
Okay. J.K. Wow. Dobbins?
I've got him above J.K. Dobbins by 3 spots.
Okay. All right, so that's because I'm not going to argue with that crazy. I am 17th, but actually, Joe, be the tiebreaker for that one. Clyde Edwards-Helaire or Chris Carson?
Edwards-Helaire. I'm still going to take the upside of that offense overall, and also the two way back that I like so much. Now, look, Chris Carson did show you a little bit more in the passing
game last year, which was nice. He basically copied the same passing numbers year over year with less games. So that was impressive. I would also take J.K. Dobbins, too, because once again, the style of that offense goes through that running game. And now that Bateman's starting the year off, you know, potentially hurt, it looks like, you know, you're going to have to go back to the ground and pound attack that you worked very successfully last year. You know, that Ravens offense really came on in the latter part of last year when they just kind of took the reins off Lamar a little bit and realized, look, we don't have the personnel to do anything else. Let's just go back to being us. And they did. And it was much more effective. So I would still take those guys. I like Chris Carson. Don't get me wrong. Swift, everybody knows. I've talked about Swift quite a bit. I have a lot of concerns about him. Michael Carter or Trey Sermon, two rookie running backs out there. The ADP is pretty similar. Some people really like what they've seen out of Trey Sermon this weekend, and I can understand that. We had to give Yates a sedative just come on the show today because the Trey Lance performance on Saturday night got him very hyped up. So he's much calmer now. We let it sink in for about 20 minutes. So Trey Sermon, Michael Carter, who should I draft, Yates?
I've got Michael Carter at RB24, and I have Trey Sermon at RB32. And the issue here between with Trey Sermon and getting him higher in my rankings is Raheem Mostert's presence on this roster. If we got clarity that Mostert was going to miss time with an injury, which, you know, we hope that we never see that, but it's something that's built in with Raheem Mostert. We have to acknowledge it. Or that Jeff Wilson wasn't going to be out as, you know, whatever the situation is, that Trey Sermon could be the lone guy in this backfield, then he would be above Michael Carter. But with Michael Carter, he's got Tevin Coleman and the Michael Pirine and maybe Ty Johnson above him on the depth chart. And Michael Carter has been showing out in training camp. So I know the first preseason game wasn't exactly what we wanted to see from Michael Carter as far as a stat line, but it's the first preseason game. I'm not reading a ton into it. So Michael Carter, I think, will eventually take over this backfield. Trey Sermon, I think, is always going to be sharing time with someone this year. That doesn't mean that he still can't be a viable fantasy football option. I'm just going to go with Michael Carter over him.
Dan, you're a self-loathing Jet fan. What are your thoughts on these two?
I'm in line with Yates here. I have Carter pretty significantly higher than I do Trey Sermon, so I'm drafting them really not in the same range. I have Carter, I think, Yates, you said 24th. I have him 26th, so not that far off, and I have Sermon 38th for the reasons basically Yates said. I do think that this weekend there were positives and negatives when you think about Carter. The negatives were you saw Ty Johnson in there. We didn't even see Tevin Coleman, but it's probably going to be, you know, a split backfield generally. But you mentioned it, Yates, like Carter is the one who is getting all the rave in camp. And again, the one thing that we did see from the Jets is that as much as they've added sort of the receiving weapons and whatever, they're probably going to lean heavily on that run throughout most of the season best they can. They want to establish the run game, which means that even if Carter is splitting carries, which he certainly will do in the beginning of the season, he's going to get a lot of work and he has the chance, I think, to make himself sort of pull away from the cap. From the crowd. With Sermon, I agree, it's going to be Mostert to start, assuming he's healthy. And the best Sermon is probably going to do this entire year, no matter how good he really looks, is probably just going to be in a split backfield. I don't see, even with a Mostert injury, that much of a chance for him to just be the guy, because we've seen that from the 49ers before. That's not what they want to do. So for me, I will take Carter. I do have some concerns. And again, this weekend was positives and negatives, because I do think that the Jets are probably going to lean into the run a little more than what I thought they might, just based on what I saw in this first preseason game.
Wow. Well, so sweep it for you guys there. Personally, I would have taken Sermon, but I don't know. I mean, I think both these guys are just going to be a timeshare no matter what they do. And I'm going to take the timeshare with the bigger potential offense there, which I think is going to be the 49ers. So that's where I'm going to go there. And Trey Sermon, you know, with the guys ahead of him, Wayne Gallman, Mostert always hurt. And also just, I was never a big fan to begin with there. People forget that Mostert was so far down the depth chart when he got that job in the first place. I feel like I'm the only person that remembers that. And yet everybody's telling you and warning you about James Robinson, undrafted free agent, James Robinson cast off. You can't expect the same thing again. Yet we all kind of expect the same thing from Raheem Mostert. And I don't understand why. I know Shanahan offense is very exciting for running backs, but that's kind of why I'm more excited about Trey Sermon. But I digress. We got a couple more running backs to get to, but before we do, I want to tell you about a sponsor of our show, and that is My Sheets Rock. True story, this weekend, my youngest daughter turned 9. One of the things she requested was a set of turquoise My Sheets Rock. That's right. She thinks they're the softest, coolest thing ever. She's like, these are amazing. I can't believe this. You know, all the kids do. They jump around. They run around your house. They jump onto your bed. And you're like, Daddy, these are the coolest things ever. And I said, I know. Get the heck out of there. And she says, I want a pair of these. They're so cool. And I said, yes, they are cool. They are soft. The most amazing sheets ever. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, they're regulatory sheets. They're designed to specifically keep the hot sleepers cool, the cold sleepers comfortable. They regulate the temperature, the wick moisture. I'm not even sure what that is, but it gets regulated. They stay breathable. They're so soft. I'm telling you, they are spectacular. I know Yates has said that they'll wash the sheets at his house and then put them right back on instead of other ones. That's the kind of quality you're getting. And if you want that kind of quality, go to mysheetsrock.com/pros. Again, that promo code PROS, and you could get 10% off and free shipping, just like I did for these sheets. And you know what? You know, the kid gets a lot of cool things. She got a cool Black Widow jacket. She got a leather jacket, black boots, all these things. She's super excited about the My Sheets Rock. See, even the kids can get excited about it. So you can too. Go to mysheetsrock.com/pros. Again, that code is PROS for 10% off and free shipping. Let's get to some more running backs here, and let's chat a little bit about Joe Mixon. My favorite, right, Yates? Yates' favorite guy here, Joe Mixon or Najee Harris. I'm going to let Yates kind of sit and simmer on this one. Danny boy, you go first. Joe Mixon or Najee Harris? One we haven't seen yet in the NFL, and one we barely saw last year.
I really don't like this question because
that's why I'm here, to ask the impossible questions. Who should I draft?
I have never liked a single question that you've ever asked me on any podcast. But
especially when I say, can I have a raise? And you say, shut up.
I like that question because it allows me to be mean. My problem with this question is that I have struggled with this exact question myself the entire draft season. I'm not kidding. I must have flip-flopped both of these guys at 11 and 12 like five times. Right now, because this is how I have it ranked after I updated yesterday, it is Joe Mixon at 11 and Najee Harris at 12. So I'm going to go with Joe Mixon. Now, Yates, you know this better than anyone. The hate for Joe Mixon in the fantasy like community, I don't mean among the experts or the analysts. I mean among the public, right? Like, you do a mock draft, you take Joe Mixon, people are catcalling you over there. Yep. But again, as you have said many times, Yates, and I love this point, so I keep kind of hammering it home. Had Joe Mixon injured his foot and gone on the IR right off the start, everybody looks at him a little bit differently right now. Yep. But because it was such a minor thing, I remember Dr. David Chow is going to be joining us on Fridays every week this year again. I asked him that, and he was like, doesn't look that bad. Looks okay. I mean, he's dancing on the sideline. We'll have to see. I don't know. And then just miss. So people are off him. But other than that, like, I get the offensive line. It's improved. It's not that great or anything like that. But people are expecting good things from the Bengals offense. Mixon is going to be a workhorse. Like, we know that that is what is going to happen. I love Harris too. I'm not off of Harris. Like, the difference in projections is like a couple of fantasy points. But for me, I'm going to lean towards the older, broken down player for obvious reasons and have Mixon as a tiebreaker. If you ask me in like a week, I reserve the right to narrowly change my opinion. But for now, I'll go with Mixon.
I believe Harris actually means old and broken down.
That's fine.
Sure. Yeah.
I'll take it.
All right. So he's going with Joe Mixon there. Yates, I'm almost afraid to even ask you. I might have to ask and duck here. Joe Mixon or Najee Harris?
It's actually really close. Don't worry. You don't need a duck. It's actually really close here because with Joe Mixon, I mean, yeah, Dan's exactly correct with what I've said previously. And if you're just tuning back in, what my point was is that when he was injured after only playing six games last year, that if he had been put on IR right away then and potentially even come back, right, been allowed to rest and just come back last season, we would have a completely different perception of Joe Mixon. But because people who rostered Joe Mixon last year were constantly playing this back and forth from Zach Taylor, like, oh, he'll be back next week. Oh, he'll be back next week. And then he never played. We were constantly just going like, I'm burning a roster spot on Joe Mixon right now. Put him on IR. Let me get him out of my bench and onto my IR spot, and I can go pick up someone else, but I can't do that. It's all about Zach Taylor. And if you have an issue with Joe Mixon, go talk to Zach Taylor, because over the past, in 2018, 14 games played. In 2019, 16 games played. The workload for Joe Mixon is potentially unrivaled in the NFL. Like, it is up there with Christian McCaffrey and Dalvin Cook. 278 rush attempts in 2019, 45 targets last year. The workload that he was seeing last year when he was healthy, when we started to see Giovanni Bernard phase out of this offense, was absurd. You're just not finding that. And the conversation has always been that Joe Mixon is a top five talent at the running back position in the NFL. He's just never given the true workload. The offensive line sucks. The offense sucks. And now Giovanni Bernard is there, which caps his receiving workload. All of those things are gone. Joe Burrow is here. This offense could be pretty dang good. The offensive line took strides forward. I don't think it's still going to be good, but it took strides forward from what it's been. And now we're moving off of Joe Mixon just because of what happened last year. So if you can get Mixon at a discount, I think that that's the route to go. Now, I don't know if you're pulling these from ADP or ECR, Joe, because there's a world in which you could get Najee Harris and then double back and get Joe Mixon later on, and you can get both of these guys. Well, that's
exactly it. In the ADP world, that was my argument also, which is, why not both? I mean, this is exactly where you can double up, and you don't have to make the decision, but there are going to be some drafts where you do have to make this decision. And personally, I think it's all about who you think can really be the one. That's what this question really is. Which one of these guys do you believe in for the workload? And I got to be honest with you, I'm somebody that was very much onto Mixon from his rookie year. And it's been a lot of disappointment. Last year wasn't the only disappointment. I just want to highlight that because I feel like that's all we talk about is last year's disappointment. And it absolutely was frustrating because you thought he might be back, and then he just never was. But to me, I'm going to go with the guy who's fresh, young, who seems to have three down back potential just like that. And I understand there's equal risk there, but I will take Najee Harris. I also think you're in a unique position where if you could take a Nick Chubb and then Joe Mixon and double tap down there at 10, 11, 12, that's ideal. Lock in somebody that you feel really good about. That way Mixon's more of a 1A than the true number one. That would be my preferred approach.
You know, he's going at 21 overall, Mixon is, in half PPR. Give me that all day. Like, I at 21 in half PPR ADP?
I have not seen anything close to that in a real-life draft.
I am looking at our actual consensus ADP.
I understand. I'm not talking about the real world. The real world, I don't
see. Are you saying that he's going higher or that he's going lower than that?
He's going higher. I've never seen him drop that far. I haven't seen him drop
that far. No, frankly, the only reason I see him going that higher is because I'm in a draft, and he's probably not going to fall that far if I'm in the back end of the draft.
So you're the reason.
It is. Thank you very much. I do sort of understand, okay? Like Joe is saying, like, you do not feel excited when you draft Joe Mixon. And part of fantasy football, guys, I'm going to break this to you, okay? It's just fun. Like, the excitement and the mystery box is always more fun than the Joe Mixon box. Like, that's just how it is. And so Najee Harris, we know he's going to get the work. The offensive line, we don't want to talk about that. We just want to talk about the workload and he'll factor in the passing
game. It's not like the Cincinnati offensive line is great.
Well, that's what I mean. I admit that.
You know what? I'm sorry. You know what? I'll take the mystery box unknown. I don't think there's anything wrong. Yeah, that's fine.
And again, I have them back-to-back and I switch them all the time. It's totally fine. But I do think, realistically, you are going to see most people taking Harris over Mixon. That is what ADP is showing, barely. But you are going to see that because, again, when you draft Joe Mixon, I don't feel good about it. As much as I feel comfortable with it, I don't feel great about it. When you draft Najee Harris, you're like, all right, see what we got here.
That's right.
Let's go. So I get it.
It's all good feelings with Najee so far.
So I will take Mixon because I'm...
That's right, because you're negative. Sorry. That makes sense. All right, let's go for one more group of running backs here to talk about. Who should I draft? Nick Chubb or Austin Eckler? Now, obviously, the two different running backs, right? One, we've got the guy who is... grounded and pounding, running touchdowns, could possibly be the potential rushing leader. He just missed it a couple years ago by a handful of yards. Or you got Mr. PPR. Now, this is half PPR, so we're going to split the difference in this conversation. So, Yates, Austin Eckler, or Nick Chubb, who should I draft?
I've got Nick Chubb at RB8, and I've got Austin Eckler at RB11 on the year. So, again, we talked about this on a podcast last week. Like, I'm not trying to diss Austin Eckler. Like, I think you can go into this year with Austin Eckler as your RB1 if you want to take a wide receiver early on. But to get Nick Chubb and the safety that he brings for your lineup, I just feel like you know exactly what he's going to bring you. You know exactly what this offense is going to be, that it's only going to continue to grow heading into year two under Kevin Stefanski. I think that Nick Chubb, his role is solidified. With Austin Eckler, there's some questions about what does this offense look like now under Joe Lombardi? Can Justin Herbert continue to grow in year two? I think that he can, but what happens if he doesn't? Then does this offense look as potent as it did last year? Like, there's some concerns here with Austin Eckler. So again, I do think that he's still a very safe option, but for me in the first round, I want to build my roster on safety, and that means taking Nick Chubb over Austin Eckler.
There's a little bit more room here for you in the Chubb Club, Dan Harris, if you'd like to come join us there. There's room on the bus. Come on, get on board. We're going to drive this bus all the way to Canton someday. The Chubb Club, let's go. Is it Nick Chubb or Austin Eckler? Who you got?
I find the name Chubb Club to be a little disturbing for whatever reason.
You know what? It was trending on Twitter the other day for some reason. I put it up there.
I don't want to know what that reason might be. So here
is what I've got. A lot of weird DMs. But
it is not. It is not close in standard where I would take Chubb. It is not close in PPR where I would take Eckler. It is extremely close for me in half PPR, but I will go with Chubb one spot higher than Eckler for a lot of the reasons that Yates says. Now, I'm going to place a lot of prop bets, okay, on season-long prop bets before the season starts. I have placed one so far, just one, and that one is Austin Eckler under 6 rushing touchdowns. I don't know why the number is 6. It's not going to happen. There's almost no chance, in my opinion. So there's just no chance. I understand it's a different coaching staff. He's not going to be the goal line
guy.
Why is
it at 6?
I don't know. That's why, if you are listening.
He's had 3 in 2018, 3 in 2019, and 1 last year.
Come on the BP pod, Yates. Let's talk about that. Go bet it, Yates.
It's extremely high.
That's what I'm saying. It's 6 rushing touchdowns. So that's the only one I've made. That's what you should. If it is still out there at 6, go bet it right now, because that's not going to happen. We know. And Yates, you have talked about Larry Rountree a couple of times, right? Mm-hmm. Like on this. And I don't know. I forgot what his ADP was. I can look it up right now. But I also.
In the 90s.
Yeah, and yeah, it's ridiculous. I updated it yesterday. Again, we don't know who's going to be. He's 65th. For me, someone is going to emerge out of there, and he's going to be the primary sort of goal line back. He's going to split work regardless of the change in offense. Chubb obviously splits work, but he's Nick Chubb, man. I mean, I feel extremely, he's like a warm blanket. I feel very comfortable with him. It's not a huge difference, but for me, again, the fact he's not going to factor into the goal line, Eckler, I'm going with Chubb. I feel not a huge difference, but in half PPR, I will still go that way.
Yeah, Rountree is a player that Yates and I were talking about a couple weeks ago in the pod.
Yes,
right? We had a long conversation about that, and guess what?
My number now, one sudden, in the... And the deep sleeper video a couple of weeks ago, the deep sleeper video, the number one, Larry Rountree. That was it on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasypros. Thank you.
Nice plug. Well done. All right. Let's plug another one thing here, and let's plug Dynasty Owner. If you've been looking for a new challenge this year, it's a new fantasy platform called Dynasty Owner that unites the fun and excitement of fantasy football with the skill and strategy of the front office. Dynasty Owner is the only way to play fantasy football with the real NFL salary cap, adding strategy of running an NFL franchise to your fantasy football universe. Dynasty Owner provides a unique challenge for diehard fantasy football fanatics that want the real GM experience, baby. So go to dynastyowner.com. New leagues are forming now. That's dynastyowner.com. We've all been in a league where the winner just got lucky, and if you're like Dan Harris and you think you're better than most, this is the platform for you. Dynasty Owner will let you prove it. It favors skilled players who can manage their roster using real NFL salaries and the salary cap. It has an entirely new level of strategy to the game you love. Go to dynastyowner.com to validate your fantasy football skills today. That's dynastyowner.com. All right, let's switch gears here. And let's talk a little bit about the wide receivers. That was some fun with the running backs. Let's have some fun with the wideouts. Mike Evans or Chris Godwin? Oh, the Tampa Bay boys getting it done again. And no, you can't say Antonio Brown, because that's the answer I would give. And that's a jerk answer. So I've already taken it. So now, since he's cheaper, you got to pick one of these more expensive guys. Dan Harris, Mike Evans, or Chris Godwin. Who should I draft?
Neither. At their ADP, neither. But
not acceptable. I will not accept Antonio Brown. I will not accept neither. You must pick one.
I will. I'm just saying. You should be drafting neither. When you are at that point where every other receiver... I'm just kidding. I have Godwin higher. I don't feel great about it. You are right, Joe, that realistically, given where they are going, the one receiver that I want from there is Antonio Brown, just because he's going, now it's starting to rise. People are catching on to like, you know what? Maybe I should rethink what I saw at the end of last year. I get it. I'm not as off of Evans as Yates was when we talked about it probably a month ago, Yates. I don't know if you're still like completely like out entirely, given what we saw from him. Basically, you know, more, I don't forget how many games it was, 8-10, where he had like 56 yards or fewer, saved by the touchdowns. I just don't want that right now. Godwin, you know, absent the injury, was generally pretty solid. But I'm targeting neither one of these guys just because I don't know exactly what's going to happen in that backfield. Are they all going to have, you know, 100-plus, targets going on? How many touchdowns is Brady going to throw? I'm going to go with Godwin. I don't want either one of them, though, at their ADP right now, which is, and I will pull it up just very quickly, because I do want to make the point, Evans certainly not. Evans is the 13th wide receiver off the board. Godwin is 14th. There's no way I'm touching Evans at that spot. I have Evans 18th. I'm sure Yates has him like
80. That's not the question. It's not if you want
to... I get it. I have Godwin higher, and I have Godwin closer to his ADP. I'll take Godwin, but without much conviction, because other than I'm getting somebody late like Brown, I just don't want to go there. But Godwin is my official answer.
All right. Yates, let's get your official answer here. I understand neither of us really care for the ADP of maybe either of these guys, but let's say they're both on the board. You need a wide receiver. You want to take one of them. Evans or Godwin, who you got?
Yeah, assuming that I want a piece of this offense at their current price tags, then that is Chris Godwin for me because he is the safer option. We know what his target totals are going to be. We know that he's an extremely talented wide receiver. We know that he can produce. And so I think that Godwin is the more consistent option. Evans is a guy who I would prefer as a wide receiver too, where I can live maybe, you know, I've got him at 19. So a guy that I can live with the ups and downs, the inconsistencies there. That's how I want to view Mike Evans. And at his current ADP of 13, like Dan said, you're not getting that. You have to have consistency with those top tier options, especially some of the guys that he's going over. And yeah, I'm not going to take Evans there. So if I do want a piece of this offense, that which is going to be very, very good again, then I'll go Chris Godwin pretty easily.
All right, let's go to the next grouping here. We had teammates just now. How about teammates again? Jamar Chase or T. Higgins, Cincinnati Bengals guys, another duo that's going very close in ADP. Now, I don't think either of you want to say Tyler Boyd to the answer to this question, so let's keep it between Chase and Higgins. Yates, you're going to start us off on this one. Who should I draft?
Oh, my word. Okay, so the whole thing with Jamar Chase in training camp and that he is struggling to gain separation and all this crap, we cannot read a ton into that. That was one reporter's, you know, opinion that he is struggling to gain separation. And if you watch his tape, he's not a guy who's going to... What does separation mean? Is that person expecting Henry Ruggs-style speed or DeSean Jackson-style speed to gain separation? Like, Jamar Chase is a contested catch freak of nature, and so he doesn't need a ton of separation. Remember, this is a guy who's shaking off the rust from not playing at all in 2020, so I feel like we are starting to see some people start to panic on Jamar Chase. ECR flipped. ECR had Jamar Chase above T. Higgins. It is now the inverse of that. I am still of the mindset that I think you should be looking at Jamar Chase over T. Higgins. However, I will acknowledge that there is some risk here. There is some uncertainty, and we know what T. Higgins is going to be. We know that he's an incredibly talented wide receiver. We know that he has the chemistry with Joe Burrow. So if you want to go T. Higgins over Jamar Chase, I'm not going to fight that. However, for me personally, I am still going Jamar Chase because I do believe in the talent. I do believe that he will get up to speed, and I believe in the chemistry and connection that he has with Joe Burrow going back to their time at LSU. So those are the main reasons why we were talking about Jamar Chase as a top 24 wide receiver, potentially even higher than that. I'll go Jamar Chase.
All right, Chase or Higgins for you, Dan Harris?
I am going to go Higgins by literally one spot. So this is, you know, without much conviction, but all the reasons that Yates said, including that he won't fight me, which is the only way I'm willing to give an answer that contradicts him, is the fact why I will go with Higgins, just because Chase is a fantastic wide receiver. I agree. It's just cool to hate on the Bengals right now, Yates. Don't worry about it. Like, all the reports that are going to come out, Joe and I have talked about this before. This is a cool thing to do right now. Like, oh man, everything's a disaster. Burrow looks terrible. You know, Chase has no separation. I'm not paying it much mind right now. But I will say that what we want Chase to be as good as he is kind of what we were seeing with Higgins when Burrow was healthy. And so for me, I will just take the guy who we have seen it already in the NFL. And the layoff, again, that's something that, yeah, can he get back up to full football speed in a camp? Or is he going to need some time in the season that's going to kind of delay his progress? So for me, as a tiebreaker, I will take Higgins, but I'm fine with either guy basically where they're going. And if you, again, like Yates, if you flip them, I don't really have a problem with it. I'll just, again, a little safer for me is Higgins.
I'll break the tie here. Give me Higgins. And I think it's because I feel good about him at the start of the season. And if Jamar Chase becomes the player we want him to be, that's only going to leave T. Higgins even more open. And I think that's also a positive. So there's like a win-win here, whereas there is a downside to Chase, there's less downside to Higgins. And if you give me those guys back and forth right there in the same ADP, basically, that's where I'm going to favor Higgins. Look, long-term, I think we all see Jamar Chase as a guy who could be fantastic for a very long time in Dynasty, but we're talking redraft, we're talking winning now. You want to get off to a good start because you don't want to be a team that gets off to a 2-4 start. That's kind of tough to recover from as you go into the season. But I think T. Higgins gives you a chance to be more like 4-2, and that's what I'm looking for right now. So again, like Jamar Chase, but it's funny how he is in some drafts going markedly more than T. Higgins from what I've seen. A lot of heat, a lot of contention, a lot of smack talk going around here on the show today. And that reminds me about TrophySmack.com. It's the only place to get epic trophies, championship belts, and rings for your fantasy football league. Trophies smack championship belts and rings, crush the competition. Their new custom design tool makes it incredibly simple to create a belt or ring with any image or text you want in less than a minute. And for listeners of this podcast, Trophy Smack has a special offer for you. Add a trophy or a belt, a trophy or a belt, and a championship ring to your cart. Use that promo code FANTASYPROS and you get the ring for free. That's right, you get the ring for free. That's $59 value from us over at Fantasy Pros just for being a listener. Again, that's trophysmack.com, TROPHY smack.com for your fantasy trophies, belts, rings, loser awards, which is fantastic. Dan Harris loves the loser award. And the code is Fantasy Pros. You get the free championship ring with the purchase of any trophy or belt. That is pretty cool right there. Up the ante with trophysmack.com. I love that. That is some good stuff right there. Everybody knows I like a good championship belt. That's for damn sure. Let's do another grouping of wide receivers here. Jerry Jeudy or Robbie Anderson. Two of my favorites. This is kind of tough for me. I know which way I'd lean, but really two very different players too. It's just a matter of, I think, how you want to construct your team. Dan Harris, who should I draft? Jerry Jeudy or Robbie Anderson?
Yeah, right now it's not that close for me, and it's Anderson pretty significantly. Now, I think I probably have Jeudy too low in my rankings. He's at 38 right now. My guess is he's not going to end up there as we get closer to the draft season. As, you know, we love his talent, of course. But Robbie Anderson, I don't have that many concerns about right now. He's 28th in my ranking, so like a high-end wide receiver three. Look, kudos to Yates, because last year Yates and I were on different sides of the Robbie Anderson versus Curtis Samuel train. He liked Robbie Anderson, and Anderson had a really, really solid overall season. Yes, he kind of fell off at the end and the touchdowns were an issue. But again, you get Sam Darnold back, and maybe Sam Darnold is really not, maybe this is last chance and maybe it wasn't all Adam Gase, and I don't really think he's going to become a superstar. But we do know that he has a great connection with Robbie Anderson from his time in the Jets. And I don't think that that's something that's just going to be left on the side, given what we know about this offense, which is going to accentuate Darnold's strengths. It's the first time he's had a legitimate coach and a legitimate supporting cast. With Jeudy, I like, there are still questions regardless of how, you know, Drew Lock looked good. And I now think he's probably going to win that starting job. But regardless, like, there's still question marks, more question marks with Jeudy. I love Jeudy the talent, more talented player. But for me, there's a good right now, like 10 spots between them. I will go with Anderson.
You're going to have to go back and listen to that bold prediction show where I told you, Dan Harris, Jerry Judy's going to be a top 20 wide receiver this year. All right, no. Yates, Jerry Jeudy or Robbie Anderson for you?
It's a lot closer than it is for Dan. I've got Robbie Anderson at 31. I have Jerry Jeudy at 33. So I will go Robbie Anderson here. And both of these guys, this is a really interesting pairing, Joe, because both of these guys have questions surrounding them. With Robbie Anderson, it's what role is he going to fill on this offense? Because he filled a very specific and very different role than what he had when he was with Sam Darnold in New York. In 2019, Robbie Anderson had a 54% catch rate, 15 yards per reception, and an ADOT of 15.8. The year before that, it was an ADOT of 17. Then in 2020, 69.85% catch rate, 11.5 yards per reception, and a 9.8 ADOT. So talk about like just a completely different role that he was filling for this offense. I still have, I don't have any clarity yet. What role is Robbie Anderson going to play? What role is Terrace Marshall going to play? Is Marshall going to step in as a full-time slot player, or does it belong to DJ Moore when he's on the field? I just don't know where all three of these guys are going to fit just yet. So I'm trying to figure that out. And if it could dramatically alter my projections, if Robbie Anderson fills the deep downfield role, then I might have a different perspective here where I might actually have Robbie Anderson even higher than that. With Jerry Jeudy, it is the question of quarterback play. What quarterback are we going to get? Are we going to get Teddy Bridgewater, who had 15 passing touchdowns in 15 games last year? Or are we going to get Drew Lock, who maybe took a step forward? And if we saw, if he continues what we saw on, you know, in game one, then we might have a little bit more optimism and faith here in Jerry Jeudy. So there's a lot of questions surrounding both these guys. If we do have Drew Lock perform the way that he did in game one and build upon it in game two, in game three of the preseason, and he comes out as a starter in week one, I might be too low on Jerry Jeudy.
I'm probably the highest here in this room on Jerry Jeudy, that's for sure. And it's not a knock on Robbie Anderson. This is another player that I have a ton of shares of already in a lot of drafts, and a lot of best ball as well. I like Robbie Anderson a lot. I think he's in a great spot there in Carolina. I just see the upside for Jeudy. I think Robbie Anderson is a guy who can return value where he is. Jerry Judy's a guy who can possibly go well above value. And for me, that's the difference between you know, making the playoffs and winning a league. So that's
and well
the
below value, though. That's my issue with Jeudy.
But at a wide receiver three spot, Dan Harris, you can afford that because then you know, can back it up right after with somebody else in that, you know, Michael Gallup-y kind of vein or somebody like that, that you feel pretty good about him, you know, as a player. Like guys like that, guys that you just kind of know who they are and you don't have to worry too much. But I'm sorry, like Jerry Jeudy in the second year here, this was a guy everybody was so excited about last year. He did so many good things. The drops were a problem. I get it. But once again, he was a rookie. Let's give him a chance here in the second year. Robbie Anderson, very good, but I want to win a league. And I think as long as the two guys I draft ahead of him, I believe in, Jeudy would be the third guy over Robbie Anderson for me.
So I love Jerry Jeudy as a talent. Like one of my favorite football players to watch. I don't care about the drops. I care much more about the lack of catchable targets that he saw last year. And you're right. Yates mentioned it. So did I. Locke looked good. Like,
he did
look good.
Williams looked good. He looked good. You know, that's the only thing that didn't look good is Jerry Jeudy blocking because Williams went out of touchdown. If Jerry Jeudy had thrown that block in the right spot there, he kind of whiffed on it. And next thing you know, Williams had to go run out of bounds. But yeah, I mean, that whole offense was surprisingly decent in the first quarter of that game.
And so as Yates says, if Locke shows this again and again, and if I'm more comfortable than I have been for the last year over, you know, the way Locke is going to quarterback, then I will move Jeudy up. But for me, and I think, Joe, this might really come down to draft strategy, whereas wide receiver three spot, I'm not yet shooting for the upside. Like, upside is great. I would love the upside. But a wide receiver three is still somebody that I need to produce every single week for my fantasy team, and I expect that more right now to be Robbie Anderson than it would be Jeudy. So I think it's a little bit of the way we almost view that spot when we draft, where I'm looking for somebody who I know is going to give me the points, and you're looking for a little more upside.
Let's move and change positions here, and let's talk a little about some quarterbacks. Two quarterbacks in the top five. All right, let's just call it super flex, so I don't have to worry about why you won't want to take a quarterback early. Kyler Murray or Lamar Jackson? Dan Harris, we started with you last time, didn't we?
Yeah.
Now I'm done with you. Let's go with back to Yates here. He is younger, faster, clearly better looking.
Yes.
Murray, Lamar Jackson, which one of these top five quarterbacks should I draft, Yates?
I've got Kyler Murray at three. I've got Lamar Jackson at four.
There you go.
This is a very, very narrow gap, but there are some, you know, we can split hairs with these guys and we can land on the Kyler Murray.
I cannot split
That's
hairs
true.
Anymore.
It's true. Tags is getting close. So with Kyler Murray, we can look at the argument for Kyler and say, okay, well, he's got AJ Green in town now. He's got Rondale Moore, who I think is going to be electric for this offense. You know, Christian Kirk stepping into the slot. And then, of course, we know that Kyler can rack up rushing yardage and especially be utilized around the goal line. With Lamar Jackson, it is the other side of the argument is, well, yeah, he's going to be fantastic on the ground. And we know that he can pass for 36 passing touchdowns because we've seen him do it before. But Rashad Bateman's injured. Sammy Watkins left practice earlier today with an injury. The injuries are piling up at the wide receiver core here for a position that they invested in significantly here to help Lamar Jackson. And I just don't know if we're going to have that same passing output that we do with Kyler Murray. So I think Lamar is a very, very safe option for you that, you know, safe within the top five. But Kyler, I think, truly does have quarterback one upside with the way that the receiving core is looking in Baltimore right now. I don't know if I can say the same thing for Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, we've already seen Kyler Murray, and I know on pace is a dangerous phrase to throw out there.
Right.
He was on pace for 4,000 yards passing, 1,000 yards rushing. That would have been the first quarterback to ever do that. I think Lamar Jackson can do that, but Kyler Murray was just about there before he got hurt last year. So take that into account, Dan Harris. The Kyler Murray body type as well, a little bit smaller of a guy, but the game is extraordinary. Kyler Murray or Lamar Jackson, probably very close for you too. Who should I draft?
I'd like to take what Yates said and just add the word ditto, and then I Good. Can pretty much be done. I have Murray 3. I have Lamar Jackson 4. I have Kyler Murray projected. I'm looking right now for 4.2 more fantasy points on the season than I do Lamar Jackson. It really is the reason. Just, you know, if you need a reason to have the tiebreaker, it is the injuries to the receiving core, and you really do need that to be a little bit of a step up, especially, again, with, you know, a guy like Moore on Arizona, who I might be getting a little excited about here, is something that kind of
really...
Is that
really your excited voice?
That's how I am excited.
You sound like a 20s gangster.
Yates is well aware. I don't really, you know... I'm not,
yeah,
whatever.
I'm excited about that
Shut
guy,
up,
that wide receiver.
You said four? Four fantasy points?
4.2, to be precise.
I've got two fantasy
You've got
points.
You've got two, right, yeah.
Two.
So, now, super I think close. Tags might have Lamar Jackson second overall ahead of Josh Allen.
I think he does.
I believe. He does. I may have hacked his rankings as I tried to help him out with the draft this you know, this weekend. But I get it. I don't have huge feelings with there. But for me, it is Josh Allen number two. I feel comfortable with that. And then again, like, we're basically identical with Murray or Lamar Jackson, but I'll go Murray.
All right. This next one, I gave you a little bonus here. Okay. Like the little bonus action. These are quarterbacks at the very end of QB1. Jalen Hurts, Ryan Tannehill, or Matthew Stafford. Three very different quarterbacks. You got your running quarterback, you got your stand in the pocket quarterback with Stafford, and then you got Ryan Tannehill, who might be something in between. So Dan Harris, I'm going to put it to you, Mr. Ditto. Who should I draft? Hurts, Tannehill, or Stafford?
I can guarantee you that Yates will not be dittoing this one because I'm well aware of how he feels about the person who I'm going to draft first. That is still Jalen Hurts. Do I feel as good about it now after just every report being terrible out of Eagles camp? I don't necessarily. But again, for you to really have a dynamic fantasy football season, and Joe, that we talk about wide receiver three, this is where I'll shoot a little more for upside here in a single quarterback league in particular when I'm waiting till the very end to draft. All these guys are pretty close. I'm happy with any of them. But, you know, with my projections for Hurts's, you know, rushing ability, and I understand that Yates sort of, you know, he talks correctly about how a lot of his rushes last year were not designed. They were just scrambles, and you can't really project that going forward. But I think a lot of his runs this year
are going to be designed. Offensive line is as bad as it was year over
But I think that they, now with Hurts going in, they're not training for Deshaun Watson. I don't expect Deshaun Watson to play this year regardless. Hurts is going to be the guy this year. For this year, I think his rushing ability is going to provide a higher floor than we're going to see slightly more than Tannehill. Stafford is my third. Stafford's the last guy who I'm taking as my QB1. Happy with all of them, but Hurts is the first guy I'm taking.
All right, Yates, Hurts, Tannehill, or Stafford, who should I draft?
So I've got all three of these guys right in a row, actually. So I have moved up Jalen Hurts just a little bit here with... And it's interesting, you know, like you're talking about like the training camp reports, and that's been where I've actually been moving him up because it is acknowledging and just kind of tweaking the way that I do rankings and acknowledging the upside that he does bring if he can progress as a passer. So I've got Ryan Tannehill, though, pretty easily ahead of Jalen Hurts. I'm not touching Jalen Hurts over Ryan Tannehill or Matthew Stafford. So we've got Tannehill at 10, Stafford at 11, Jalen Hurts at 12. And it's pretty close with Tannehill and Stafford. It's like those are the guys that I'd be taking. And then in that gap there with Jalen Hurts, there's probably like a round or two difference between those quarterbacks there. So I'll wait a round or two before I'm taking Jalen Hurts. The issue is trying to keep Jalen Hurts out of the top 12 without like Joe Burrow. I have concerns. I put him over Joe Burrow because I have concerns about the injury. Trevor Lawrence, I've got at 14. It's like, well, okay, I'll take Jalen Hurts because I think Trevor Lawrence is going to take some time. Tua Tagovailoa, I've got at 15. The only caveat here is if Trey Lance comes out to be the starter in week one, he's jumping way above Jalen Hurts. Yes. Then Jalen Hurts moves out of my top 12 for sure.
Fine.
Wait, did you answer the question somewhere in there?
I answered it like three
Tannehill,
times.
Tannehill, right?
Is it Tannehill?
Yeah, like I said, I've got all three of these guys in a row.
I just want to make sure
you said Tannehill. Okay. Stafford Tannehill. And Hurts. Yes, right. I will be taking all Tannehill.
Right. I know you gave the ranking, but I want to make sure that you're also giving the answer, not just the ranking. Maybe you changed midway through the discussion in your own head. I don't know. I want to make sure that people get their money's worth here on this free podcast. So look, Ryan Tannehill, I'm with you. I'm with you 100% here. I think that's the way I would go of these three as well. I like to have a lot of shares. I have Ryan Tannehill probably higher than all of you. I think I have him at 8 or 9 or somewhere like that. I have to go double check, but... Sorry,
Mock
I believe.
Drafters. Everybody
I believe,
listen up.
You want a good grade from Joey draft P. Tannehill. You draft the Ryan Tannehill, and why not? Gee, he's got a great running back. He's got rushing touchdown upside, Julio Jones and AJ Brown. Gee, I don't know why I wouldn't want him on my team. I can't think of a reason. Let's go to tight end here and talk about these guys. Logan Thomas or Robert Tonyan? Come on, let's go. Yates.
Can we answer for each other?
Yes.
Can we I answer Dan?
Okay. Yates, right, give me
Dan
the Dan Harris,
Harris
answer.
I'm Dan
to
Harris
this,
now.
But you have to do it in an impression of Dan Harris.
I'm not good at impressions.
Just be kind of miserable and laugh your way through it.
What's the noise he made earlier? He's excited.
I don't know how I like
it's,
this guy.
It's Logan Thomas for me. Because he's tight end one in my rankings, and he's the love of my life. So Logan Thomas.
Okay. I should ask Yates/Harris now the answer to this question.
I'm obviously taking Robert Tonyan because it's Aaron Rodgers, and I can't imagine that this... this crazy like touchdown rate. It's totally fine. It doesn't look. Sometimes you just throw it out the window. Okay, it doesn't matter that he doesn't get red zone targets or that all his touchdowns are from like 90 yards out. Doesn't matter. It's Aaron Rodgers taking Robert Tonyan.
One can only
hope. That's nothing.
Why
like
do I talk with so much movement like in my body? I'm like, hey, hey, hey.
You do. You've never really. Actually, fine. I'll give you Yates. Okay, Robert Tonyan. I mean,
oh my
like,
goodness.
Cool. Right. I don't know. I
one can only hope this makes it to some sort of social media clip because that was spectacular. All right, let's do another. Let's try to break the cycle here because I don't know where we're going. The show is falling apart quickly. Blake Jarwin or Cole Kmet? Who should I draft? Dan Harris.
Ooh, okay, this is a good one. And I will say that I did flip this one over the weekend because I did have Blake Jarwin higher, but I'm a little worried that Dalton Schultz is going to take away more of the work that I kind of expected him to. I kind of thought Blake Jarwin would just come right in and he would be closer to what we expected last year, but I'm a little worried that Dalton Schultz is going to take it. I'm, you know, obviously Justin Fields, we don't know when he's going to start. It was against the second team defense, but I'm obviously excited about that. I'm going to go with Kmet here, who I have at tight end 19, and I have moved Jarwin down to tight end 23 pretty significantly from my most recent update.
Now, everyone knows I've been a Cole Kmet guy. The question is, Yates, are you riding that Kmet wagon with me, or are you on Blake Jarwin?
I have Blake Jarwin at 17 right now, and I have Cole Kmet at 18. So, Joe, that means that I would take Blake Jarwin in this instance.
Thank you I just want the definitive answer. I just want to make sure.
But here's the thing, Dan, you're absolutely correct in saying that like Dalton Schultz could be more of a factor. And the way that I'm projecting it right now, because my projections feed into my rankings, is that Blake Jarwin is going to be the tight end one in this offense. So if I were... that you have to take that into account because we don't have that clarity yet. There is a possibility that Dalton Schultz comes out as the tight end one in this offense, as the starter in this offense, and he's going to be the guy that I would draft over Cole Kmet. Like, that's a possibility. So if you are drafting today and you need a tight end at tight end 17 or 18, you waited until 16 or 15 other options went off the board. First off, I don't know what you're doing, but then in that instance, I would be taking Cole Kmet. Just because we know what his role is. We know that he's going to be involved in the offense. But Blake Jarwin certainly, I believe, has the higher upside if he does get the job.
All right, let's have some fun here with a little question that was posed on the Fantasy Pros social media wagon. Of course, if you don't follow us on Twitter, on Instagram, everywhere you possibly can over Fantasy Pros, please go do so now. We asked a question, which player is most likely to... And then we left it blank because we wanted you, our listeners, our watchers, our readers, to fill in some cool questions. So you did not disappoint. You never do. So I'm going to give a shout out to some of the better ones out there. There were some not so good ones. Some ones, haha, I'm going to make a funny joke, haha. But the joke is on you because we're actually going to make some people famous. Let's start with Joe Barbato, my people. At Joe Barbato wants to know, which player is most likely to separate themselves from a shared backfield as the lead back? Yates, you got an answer for this one?
Michael Carter.
Michael Carter. There you go. That's a good answer. Dan Harris, do you have an answer? Who's going to separate themselves from the shared backfield?
I think Carter is probably the right answer. I mean, I might say Javonte Williams, but it's, I mean, Melvin Gordon's battling a little bit of a groin injury right now, so it could be him. But I think all things being equal, everybody being healthy, I think the answer is probably Michael Carter. I'll go with Yates.
All right. Let's do another one here. Which player is most likely to finish in the top five but be drafted outside of the top 12 quarterbacks? So this is a quarterback outside of the top 12, but finish as a top five quarterback. That's asking a lot. So that's a tough one. That's from at TH underscore 1984 underscore. He loves underscores, clearly, TH. Dan Harris, you have an answer for this? Is there a quarterback who can really kind of blow our minds and go from outside of 12 to top five?
So I'm looking up the ADP, our consensus ADP right now, looking at the top 12. Probably maybe a little bit of a cheating answer, but I'm going to go with Trey Lance. I mean, if he, well, no, you can say the same thing. I said Carter.
You could say Lance. You could even say Lawrence, because Lawrence is going to play from week
one,
too.
Well, right. Lawrence is probably a quote-unquote
shock. Both of those offensive lines have to play better for either of those guys.
I'm telling you, though. Yeah, Lance was sacked four times in his very limited time.
Lawrence also a lot of pressure.
I got it, but Lance, I mean, you know, I realize that Lance went 5 for 14 or whatever in the preseason game, but obviously had the 80-yard touchdown. Assuming that he gets start, and Yates, I don't know about you, after this game, I talked about this on the kickoff, I adjusted my projections pretty significantly for Lance, because I'm conservative and I was like, well, they'll take a little. You cannot have that guy.
Welcome to the cool kids table.
Sorry, I'm late to the party like I was throughout high school. It's,
you know,
fine.
Yates must love the fact that I'm here now. Most people hate it, but Yates loves it because I defend him about Trey Lance from day one. I defended him on Jonnu Smith all the way back to last year. Yates, you got to start recognizing I'm your BFF.
I appreciate you. I mean, you're not Dan Harris, you know? Dan Harris just goes against everything I say.
Wow. That alone has moved me up in Yates' book. I am not Dan Harris. All right, which player is most likely to win the rushing title this year? And that's from Josh at JoshCon, which is one of the better cons. Comic-Con's good, JoshCon even better. Lots of guys named Josh there, funny enough. But I would say winning the rushing title this year, Nick Chubb is my answer. Done. Chubb Club, let's go. Yates, Harris, any answers for this one?
All right. Okay, Yates.
I'm looking in my projections. I think it is Nick Chubb.
Yes. Look at this. Look at us. All friends here. Come on, Dan Harris. You got one?
All right, hold on. I got to go with the projections. I'm going to go. Ooh, I'm going under the radar, actually. Someone named Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry is my resident. I don't care that it's
never
like
heard of him.
Eighth time in a row that he's going to.
How do you spell his name? Is it D-E-R-E-K?
I don't know, but I was wondering, Yates, who would you take first out of Jalen Hurts and Matthew Stafford and Joe?
My rankings have Ryan Tannehill, Matthew Stafford, then Jalen Hurts. Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Okay, cool. I want to know that. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Hey, Joe.
Uh-huh. All right. Yeah. Well, I got one more question here, fun boy. All right, the next one here is, which player would come out of nowhere, not in the top 50, and become a top 12 at their position? So somebody out of the top 50 range in ADP, they can end up being a top 12 at their position. And that question is from at Big Dog DCH, Chris. And Chris, I know, is an avid listener and watcher of the show. So you guys got an answer for this? Somebody out of the top 50 who could be a top 12 at their position?
I'll throw one out. Yeah, I'll go first if you want. It's probably got wide receivers, probably the easiest spot to go because it's so deep.
Yeah, that's where I was looking for.
I mean, look, I'm not expecting this, of course. I'll go with Rondell Moore. Am I allowed to be this excited about Rondell Moore?
I don't think you're allowed to be this excited. I just want to, I mean, this is just weird for me. I've spent 5 days a week for the last 6 months doing a show with you.
It's because you're talking about baseball. I don't mention Rondell Moore on the baseball podcast.
But Yates, I don't know if this is good for Dan's health. We got to keep everybody here. We're down
okay,
to three,
I have a question. Okay? Where is Rondell Moore ranked for you guys, please, right now?
Off the top of my head,
nobody cares about you. Go ahead, Yates.
Ooh, man.
I don't have him. Today, I've cut it off at 70. My wide receiver, my rankings, and he's outside of there.
Yeah, that's fine. You're like way too low. Okay. I mean, I have him 60th, so it's not like I'm crazy, but still, this is
you're way too low. I've got
thank you.
60th.
Well, you've cut it off, so he could be 120 for all
he's
I know.
Not 120.
But also, rank more wide receivers, okay? But look, here my bottom line is, I'm trying to find somebody else on the top 50. I'm very excited with what I saw. I guess I'm going to assume for the time being that he's probably going to be the slot guy and they're going to manufacture touches for him. And with Kyler Murray throwing you the ball, you could have a pretty great season. So that's my pick outside the top 50 to finish at the top 12. There you go.
All right.
Go
ahead.
There was a very easy answer to this question a week ago, and that was Jalen Waddle, but his ADP has now risen. He's at 46 in our ADP consensus. So can't choose him. So I will go with Darnell Mooney at 53. In ADP right now.
Oh, that's a good one. By the way, can I say one other one who is just inside, like you, it's Michael Gallup. Okay, I get it that what we're seeing.
I thought you were about to say Michael Pittman, and I was about to get very excited.
No,
yeah,
no.
You said Michael, and I was like, here we go, Dan, you did it. I'm so proud of you. And then
there aren't many people in the NFL
not proud of you anymore.
With the first name Michael. Yeah, Michael Gallup. Would also, he's 48 in half PPR ADP. He would also be a guy. I get it, good Cowboys, but I love that he's playing out of the slot now, and they're not all the time, but that he's going to play more out of the slot. I'm excited about both him and CeeDee Lamb, of course, but yeah, he would be my guy if he was two spots lower.
All right, there you have it. We've answered all the questions. So many questions. We hope we got as many in there for you as you possibly can imagine. And don't forget, we've got more questions and answers coming all week on many of our wonderful podcasts, plus our Fantasy Football Fest Thursday, 10 a.m. Eastern to 10 p.m. Eastern, wall-to-wall football for your brain. So make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel, Fantasy Pros, to watch, interact, hang out, all of the above. And of course, watch along. And don't forget about the sponsors of our show. That's TrophySmack.com. You want to get the loser's trophy. You want to get the cool belts, everything. Go to TrophySmack.com. And remember, whenever you buy a trophy or a belt, you get a championship ring for free with that promo code FANTASYPROS. Also, a reminder, take your fantasy game to the next level with DynastyOwner.com. Real NFL fantasy with real strategy for the salary cap. That's what you want to do. Go to DynastyOwner.com and challenge yourself and maybe some of your friends as well to real fantasy football with the real salaries and, you know, fantasy reality all kind of blurring together. And of course, then when you're tired, make sure you get to My Sheets Rock. MySheetsRock.com, the perfect day, the perfect time to go after a long day of fantasy football. You watch all the football fest, you get the MySheetsRock.com/pros. Again, use that promo code PROS for 10% off free shipping so you can sleep like a baby and have wonderful thoughts about whether or not Kyle Yates answers my questions here on the program. And of course, Uncle Joey wants to give you free stuff, as always, here on the program. So make sure to go to fantasypros.com/contest. Enter to win that Clyde Edwards-Helaire helmet. It is cool. It's the inversion one where it's the black helmet with the red Kansas City Chiefs logo. It's autographed. It's amazing. Tyler from Denver can tell you about winning free stuff over here, so it could be you next. And don't forget about fantasypros.com, the Who Should I Draft tool, which is out there for you right now. FantasyPros.com/offers, just a $10 deposit, that's it. Go play some more fantasy on Underdog, on FanDuel, on DK. Enter a contest, you get six free months of our Hall of Fame package. That's a $65 value just for you because you're special to us, just like Dan Harris is so special to me. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Dan Harris and Kyle Yates, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network,
available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.